Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide program on Radio Miraya. This is our discussion hour, and today we will be looking into the issues of access to justice in general, but in South Sudan in particular. And the question is, how best can citizens access justice? And justice and the rule of law are terms that always come together and explain one another in practice. The concept of justice had developed over centuries to the extent that of becoming a shared human value to which all nations prescribe and sign international charters and conventions. South Sudan is one of the countries that are signatories to such charters that call for maintaining justice as a basic demand for governance and respect of human rights. And in fact, the justice system is said to be the third branch of government everywhere. And today I will be looking into the meaning of justice and how the justice system works and how citizens can access justice. And of course, we will be looking at some of the challenges in these respects and end with some proposals if there is a need to propose improvements or enhancement of any issues in the justice system in South Sudan. And with me in the studio are members from the Rule of Law Unit of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, and also one of the South Sudanese practicing lawyers. That is Simon Tang Jathkor, who is the practicing, practicing advocate, leading the Simon's Advocate, the Simon's Legal Firm, and also who is a former leader of the former director or executive director of Access to Justice. And with me also in the studio is Doris Ponimoga, Rule of Law. She's a Rule of Law Officer, we call them here like that. And also Chorima Daniel, Rule of Law Officer in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. And not least is Hansen Douglas, who is a senior Rule of Law Officer with the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Welcome all of you to Radio Miraya's Nationwide. Let me start with the team leader of the Rule of Law team that is here with me in the studio, Douglas. Please give us a little bit of introduction about the significance of this discussion of justice.
Well, good evening. It's an honor to be here and also to speak to you and to your listeners. My name is Douglas. I work with the UNMIS Rule of Law Advisory Section, and our role within UNMIS is to support, as provided by our mandate from the Security Council, to provide technical assistance and capacity-building support to the government and also more broadly to all of South Sudan to restore and to reform the rule of law and the justice sector of the country in order to strengthen protection of civilians, to combat impunity, and to promote accountability, including for gender-based violence and conflict-related sexual violence and for human rights violations. So what we do is we work in that framework on three different areas. The first is most broadly on security sector reform. The second area is on legal and policy reform in support of the revitalized peace agreement. And the third area is most broadly in supporting the corrections and justice sectors, and the justice sector would include the prosecution and the judiciary, to strengthen their capacity and to restore and reform it to make it more suitable and the most suitable that it can be to support South Sudanese people as they seek accountability for the violation of rights and as they seek to ensure that they have access to their rights themselves through a different variety of mechanisms, from the judiciary to various oversight institutions such as the various internal oversight mechanisms for corruption, for access to information, and so on. So that's the work that we do in UNMISS Rule of Law. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Gabriel, with thanks.
Yeah, thanks to Douglas for this introduction. And of course, when I introduced Simon, I missed some information. He's former executive director of Action for Legal Aid, and he's now the managing director of Simon's Law Associates. We have to get that right. And so as we are talking about justice here, and I have two colleagues from the Rule of Law unit of the United Nations Mission South Sudan, we have just heard from the team leader or the senior Rule of Law officer, Douglas Hansen. Let me turn to Doris and with a bit of explanation of what is the meaning of access to justice.
Okay, thank you, Gabriel, for having us here today. Access to justice is a principle of rule of law, and simply put, it is the ability of people to obtain a legal remedy for their grievances, either through formal or informal justice systems. So it's just ensuring that justice and the courts are accessible, that they are available, and that they meet the needs of the community.
And this is the role of the state. It's the role of the government to provide this.
Yes, primarily it is, yes.
And are there legal provisions that are linked to access of justice in South Sudanese laws?
Yes, there are. First and foremost, our constitution is grounded on principles of equality, respect for human dignity, advancement of human rights, and fundamental principles. So the supreme law of the land is the constitution, and it's on that basis that access to justice lies. We have one provision in Article 14 states that we are all equal before the law. In addition, we are granted the right to fair trial, and all citizens have a right to litigation.
Yeah.
Meaning justice should be dispensed to all people, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their background or their ethnicity. Yeah. The Constitution guarantees the access to justice.
Yeah. When you speak about the Constitution and when you speak about these issues of justice and all that is related, are we reinventing the wheel, or we are subscribing to some regional, international conventions on that?
We are not reinventing the wheel. All these principles are grounded on the UN Convention of Human Rights. That's where we derive our laws from, but also internally our constitution is the supreme law that guarantees the right to access to justice, fair trial, and a right to litigation.
So when we are part of that, we have signed into these international conventions and charters, and we are under obligation to follow them.
Yes, exactly. South Sudan is a signatory to many UN conventions that guarantees these rights. And furthermore, the judiciary has been granted the responsibility to ensure that justice is dispensed without any delay and that justice is accessible to all citizens.
Simon Tang, given that most of the citizens resort to informal justice mechanisms, and because I can bring an example to this, it's like in many cases, people prefer to go to the traditional courts, or even no court at all. You just sit at the family level, sit down and resolve it. No justice system involved. How best can we link up informal and informal justice institutions? Bring down the mic. Yeah, push it down. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
It is right for every citizen in South Sudan or all the inhabitants in South Sudan, the residents, to solve their problems amicably out of court. Out of court settlement is termed as the best way of solving the problem once and for all. And when we want to link formal and informal justice systems, the informal justice systems are derived from the law, which is the Local Government Act. That Local Government Act there is ways and means to select the chief. There is certain procedures they do, but sometimes they make appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But that appointment is made in accordance to procedures as well. The commissioner,
mm-hmm.
the mayor, who is there, and there is a third person as well, but they put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is put to writing, they will select the chief. And those chiefs in all Payams, Bumas, they have judicial powers. And these judicial powers, it must come from the constitution, which is establishing the judiciary of the Republic of South Sudan.
Mm.
And criminal cases and civil cases that they can decide, they will decide. But there is some cases which are criminal that they cannot decide. But they can decide it, for example, murder cases, section 206. The chief can settle it traditionally by payment of the compensations.
Yeah.
And but the chief cannot grant this one death by hanging,
yeah,
whatever.
Capital punishment.
Mm. Punishments.
Mm.
They cannot do that.
So there are limits.
Yeah, they
but
have.
But it's a right as long as you can resolve your issues amicably.
They have.
And satisfactory,
yeah,
to both parties. So if I am like, I feel like I've been offended by the ruling of the traditional court, can I appeal to the statutory court?
Yes, actually,
mm.
the judicial powers of these traditional courts are given to them in accordance to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the judgments and the verdicts of the traditional courts mm. are taken to counter courts for appeal.
Okay.
You can appeal to the counter court.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can make exclusion of the judgment,
yeah,
in the counter court as well.
Okay. Okay, let me jump to another question before I come to Shoriba, is to Doris. Doris, I'm talking about justice, thinking about justice, and I have a case.
Uh-huh.
Where should I start? How do I specify the case, after all, in the beginning, and where should I go accordingly?
Okay. First of all, you need to determine whether it's a criminal case or a civil case.
Mm-hmm.
Civil cases are private in nature, and they involve cases such as land grabbing, land issues, and breach of contracts. So the first step for a plaintiff to do is to, or a citizen to do, is to file a plaint in the relevant court.
Mm-hmm.
And if a citizen has resources, he or she may also opt to use a lawyer to file that civil suit on his or her behalf. So once a plaint is drafted, then it is submitted to the court, of course, at a reasonable fee. And thereafter, the court will summon the defendant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for criminal cases, you have to report to the police station, and thereafter, the police, under authorization of the public prosecutor, will initiate investigation on the criminal case.
Yeah, but these cases are open at the same police station, right? The investigator will decide whether this case, or the attorney, right?
Yes, that is for criminal cases, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But civil cases mm-hmm. Do not need to go to the prison. And that's the mistake most South Sudanese...
You don't go to the police?
No, you don't need to go to the police for uh-huh. a civil suit.
Uh-huh. Where do you go? To the court directly?
Yes, you go to the court directly once you have filed a plaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if you're unable to file a plaint, then you can request the support of a lawyer. If you cannot afford a lawyer, you may use pro bono lawyers or seek legal aid to do that. I'm not sure if that is within their jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think one of you can add. If you
yeah,
want to,
Chorima, you may add.
Yeah, Chorima or...
Yeah,
or
so for criminal cases,
yeah.
Once a person has witnessed or is a victim of a crime, then what they simply have to do is just walk to the nearest police station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there is this slogan that the police is your friend.
Yeah.
So make use of the police. So you just walk to the police station, and then the case file is opened, and then you write down your statement, you sign it,
mm-hmm.
and then the public prosecution attorney determines whether or not there is a need to issue an arrest warrant.
Yeah.
So when there is a need, then an arrest warrant is issued, and then thereafter the offender is arrested, and the case takes on from there.
Yes.
But
yes.
For like my colleague said, for civil cases, there is no need whatsoever to involve the police. All you have to do is involve, if you can, if the complainant can, they can handle the case, you know, represent themselves. But if they can't, they can involve a lawyer. So these two have to be distinguished right from the onset, and that is why most times in practice people have a confusion of sometimes bringing civil cases and having people arrested.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
People are being reprimanded for cases that do not require to be reprimanded.
Exactly.
Right, and including the contractual businesses and all these kind of things, which are not criminal in nature, but they are civil. So it's good to understand this. Yeah, thanks, Shorma, for that. Let me get back to the line of my questions. It's like, we have challenges. We seem to be having challenges facing the access to justice in South Sudan, let alone the practice, but the access to justice. And I give you, Chorima, to explain some of the challenges that we have been finding out.
Thank you so much. Just like in any other part of the world, we don't have an ideal, system which does not have any challenges. South Sudan is not an exception. We have challenges, in our system in regards to access to justice. Some of these challenges include the limited awareness about the legal procedures to follow, and that is why we are talking about people resorting to, mixing the principles of law, civil cases being, had by, being mixed up as criminal cases. So this is one of the greatest challenge we have, which limits people from accessing justice. Also, we have a problem with access to the laws. The laws of South Sudan are not easily accessible to all in all the four corners of South Sudan, let alone even to the land colleagues. So in other jurisdictions, we have laws available, over the internet,
mm-hmm.
websites, which avail all the laws to the citizens, but we have limited resources of that nature, and that is why sometimes people, it limits people from accessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we have pro bono services we don't have laws regulating pro bono services, which causes a problem to the poor people or the paupers. How then would they access justice if there are no avenues for them to be able to follow the right legal
mm-hmm.
channels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest limitations, though, the challenges we have also is the absence of the judiciary in some parts of South Sudan. When you traverse South Sudan, you notice that some places don't have the formal, the statutory courts. Places like Bentiu, for instance, the judiciary is not there, and I understand, of course, the 2013 crisis led to that, and that is why you have chiefs presiding over cases, not in accordance with the law, as my brother Simon put it.
Mm.
And with this also, it discourages some people from accessing, because all the law, is being, mixed up, or the chiefs hearing cases, and then we have unfair, punishments or unfair decisions being made.
A lot of consequences in
yes.
that line, yeah, a lot of consequences.
Yes, and some of it also we have which is during trials, we have some problems relating to language barrier. you know, the constitution talks of the official language to be English, and then of course, and then trials, and then the other laws also talk about the court can, you know, the official the other languages of the court could be, you know, the language prevailing in
the area.
In the area. Yeah. So we have, if let's say a complainant is a Madi, and then and then this case is being had in let's say deep in Lake State, there becomes a problem. So yeah, we have problems relating to language, and also we don't have laws dealing with witness protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm a witness, and then there is a case in which I'm supposed to, you know, appear and testify, I don't have a guarantee that I will be protected.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things, you know, some of the challenges that are affecting the access to justice.
Yeah. You want to say something, Doris? Yeah.
Yes. In addition to that, I would like to add that inadequate number of judges and lack of motivation of judges has actually limited the access to justice for many people. So you find that most of the judges are located in Juba at the national level. So due to that, we have inaccessibility of justice to the people in the remote areas. In addition, also there is a lack of trust in the judiciary, because many times you find that the cases do not go through to the end, or there is abuse of power and authority and such things. So those are some of the factors limiting mm-hmm. access to justice.
Yeah. Listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Nationwide Discussion Hour. Today we are looking into the issues of access to justice in South Sudan. My guests in the studio are Douglas Hansen, Senior Rule of Law Officer in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, and Mr. Simon Tang Jazza, the Managing Director of Simon's Law Associates and former Executive Director of Action for Legal Aid, Doris Ponimoga, Rule of Law Officer, United Nations Mission South Sudan, and Chorima Daniel, Rule of Law Officer, United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Soon we'll be going to the listeners also to involve them, but I have a few questions left here for the listener, for the guests in the studio. After we had much explanation about the challenges facing the access to justice in South Sudan, ending with the language issue, and I remember a situation in which one of the accused in the court, when the ruling came out against him, he wrote a long paper saying that even the trial was held in Arabic, and that was not the language of the country. Or no, he said the other way around. The trial was in English, and the lawyer spoke Arabic mostly, so he couldn't get what was there. So you either find a lawyer speaking most in Arabic, the court in English, or the opposite, the judge speaks Arabic and the lawyer speaks English, and it's all confusing. That is one of the issues. Of course, we have seen that judges are being ferried around in mobile courts, and then they stay for a limited time. All the other time, the inmates are waiting, languishing in the prison, they're waiting for trial. Thanks for that. Let me now look for the ways out of this. What are the resources or organizations that are available for helping citizens with their rights? And this question goes to Doug and Simon. Let me start with Douglas. Yeah.
So let me just add one thing on when we talk about these, both the nature of rights and the challenges that face South Sudan. The basis of law is that it's the writing down and the recording of what is right and what is wrong. When we say rights, the word itself means that it is the good thing. So when we talk about, you know, understanding what is a civil suit and what is a criminal case, the essence of it, there are different ways that it works out. And what we would like to do is to help South Sudanese people explore how to access those rights, to protect them, to realize them in their lives, but also to understand that if you talk about the dignity that Doris talked about earlier in the Constitution, that's really what we are working on. So if you think about dignity, it becomes simpler from the very complicated ideas that are out there. And conversely, when we talk about access to justice, the challenges that South Sudan faces are not new to the world. When we talk about circuits, you'll sometimes hear this term used. in Western courts, in English-derived courts, right? There is a circuit. Why is it called a circuit? Because the judge would go in a circuit. He would go, it was mostly men back then, but the judge would go in a circuit from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place, and was never in one location for very long. And that is the history of the law in so many places, and that is also the reality in South Sudan for now. And so one of the things that we do as UNMISS is we do support so-called mobile courts and so-called special courts to go to places where people do not have direct access to justice, because South Sudan is a growing country. It's a country that is coming out of a period when it was part of Sudan and now into independence. And these things do take time, which is not an excuse for not being acting faster or pushing harder, but it's also an explanation for how things are. And so we, I think, need to be both humble about what it is and what is possible, but also ambitious, and to think about what should be. And that's, I think, what we really do as colleagues, and Simon as a brother in our collection of lawyers, that we're really trying to do is to empower individuals to try to realize, to make concrete, to make real their rights and what they do. So for us, the different ways that this works is for, as an institution, as UNMISS, we provide support to different mobile courts, special courts. One that is particularly important right now, I think, for many of us, is the so-called Joint Special Mobile Court for Warrap and Western Barlgazal States. That was an institution that was set up by the Honorable Chief Justice. So I should say that all of the work that we do is led by and initiated by the government. We are a so-called advisory section, so we provide technical support. We don't do anything that is not asked for by the government or the judiciary. So we see ourselves as allies and as supporters and not leaders. Mm-hmm. All of these processes that we talk about are initiated by and conducted by our sisters and brothers in South Sudan. So the Joint Special Mobile Court for Warrap and Western Barlgazal States, it was initiated by the Honorable Governors of Warrap and Western Barlgazal, and then the Chief Justice established it. Our work then came in to work with the prosecutors and the investigators to go to places where normally there is very limited access to justice, because South Sudan is a big country and there are many challenges, and it's not right now. One day, mm-hmm. it will be there. But then to go out to communities, to hear people, to collect complaints, to help identify what was the wrong that they perceived. Does that fit into the penal code? And then to take those cases, to work with defense attorneys, to represent the accused persons, to work with all these people, to try to allow people in remote areas, like in Jo River, in Tonj North, in Tonj South, mm-hmm. to see the operations of a court, to understand what accountability means and what access to justice means in their lives. Yeah. And that's the kind of work that we are very excited by, that is initiated by the government, and that the government is really working very hard on, and that we hope will be very successful in trying to help these communities move forward.
Thank you very much, Douglas. And let me take a few seconds of break, and I will come back, and I will come back to Simon to add what other corridors of support that can be given to the citizens. You are still listening to Nationwide on Radio Maria with me, Gabriel Shadar.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Maria.
In this moment, come together. Yes. Be as one without a care. In the air, in the air, put your lights up in the air.
Jerry,
in this moment, come together. Be as one without a care.
What is everybody afraid of before? See the age I came through, I weather the storm. I'm playing with thunder, I'm flying with cells. They making it rain, safe, we making it hell. You wanna visit fire? I throw you to hell. They can't see me, but they feel me, I'm basically brown. You're looking at the holy grail, and this is what I wanna make, I don't care if it sells. Can't put them in the air. Everybody everywhere. High
acting like you ain't heard of me. This is sick to you, it's reverse to me. And everybody's getting bills now. But every freaking label wants one of me. Yeah, you can't replicate my style. I'm on my high horse, no round. And you're looking at the holy grail. And this is what I wanna make, I don't care if it sells. Can't put them in the air. Everybody everywhere. High where I can see. So you can shine like me. For me music, never chose this, it's destiny music. This ain't love of music.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Yes, we are back to the discussion and that was a short break. And with me is still in the studio is Douglas Hanson, Senior Rule of Law Officer in the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, and Simon Tangyath, Managing Director of Simon's Law Associates and former Executive Director of Action for Legal Aid, and Doris Fonimoga, Rule of Law Officer, United Nations Mission in South Sudan, and Shorima Daniel, Rule of Law Officer, United Nations Mission in South Sudan. We have been discussing the issues that are to do with access to justice in the country and how best we can access justice. And with that question, I go to Simon with a last question before I go to the listeners with some questions. Simon, Douglas was speaking before the break that what the United Nations is doing. When it comes to other bodies apart from the United Nations, what is there?
Actually, it is a full responsibility of the government of South Sudan to fulfill its duties and obligations to the citizens of the Republic by appointing more judges to all counties of South Sudan, Bumas. Even the Payam is supposed to be having a county court judge, because county court judges are also having grades, first grade, second grade, and that is their responsibility. So even before crisis, judges numbers are limited. So it is very important to the government of South Sudan to put judges in every corner whereby there is citizens, anywhere including the rural areas. And then the other partners are going to play their technical support, as is stipulated by Douglas. And also, it is also the other answer for this question as well, it is the responsibility of the government of South Sudan to implement the agreement, the current agreement, because there is a lot of reforms, including judicial reforms, that will bring access to justice in order, as well as implementation of the agreement means that there is some things which are not implemented. I'm not talking about the security arrangements, but about what the state legislative assemblies, if they are in order, then there is so many violations concerning some honorables of the states, because maybe they forgot. I don't think that they are not told about their limits and the way they should do. So no one is supposed to do the work of another person, and they should know who is supposed to do an arrest of warrant is done only by the prosecutor and a judge. That is the law of South Sudan. Then what will happen if a violation is being done by a person who is supposed not to do that? Actually, if there is no any questions, if there is no any investigations done, and it goes like that, it becomes a tradition, mm-hmm. and it would be seen by the people over there that this is true. And even if you came, as a lawyer, telling and making enlightenments that this is not true, they will not accept, because the wrong became true, because it is always done.
Because of became the practice.
A practice, yeah. Yes, for yeah. sure. And also, I want to add that the governors of the Republic of South Sudan, they have their role to tell all their honorables about their works and their constitutional mandate in accordance to the law signed by the president. There is a specialized law for any institutions,
yes.
of the government.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no one is to step into the work of somebody else.
Yeah,
that will bring things in order.
Yeah, which was quite the prerogatives of the judiciary have been really infringed on by executives most of the time, more than the judiciary stepping into the toes of the executive, and that is a major problem we have been seeing in the country. I'm afraid we'll not have time to pick many listeners, but let me take this one. Mading Malwal Along from Malakal Town, it says, some people here celebrate and fund and support tribal charge individuals who abuse other tribes publicly and give them warm welcome, and you don't see them condemned because they are supporting your tribe or against others. How can we identify such people to be punished and shamed by the rule of law? This goes to the South Sudanese who are here, the lawyers who are here. Yes, anyone can take that up. Is there any law that can govern abuse of other people?
Yes, for sure. Abuse of other people, other tribes, including religions of other peoples, are respected in accordance to the law, and any person in accordance to the constitution of this republic, and anyone who is violating that, I think that is punishable by law.
For those who would like to call, the numbers are 0912062950 and 0912062972079, and the MTN lines, also you have been knowing them for a long time. Let me take this caller. Hello?
Yes. Hello, Maraya.
Welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Yes, thank you. Mangarangui from Northern Barcelona.
Come again?
Mangarangui.
Mangar. Welcome, Mangar, from Northern Bargazal.
Thank you. I want to ask those on the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They always cry for gender-based violence.
Mm.
But the law of South Sudan, they are based only for the girls. And I have not had any woman been convicted because of the teenage boy. Are they
children? Okay. Good. We have got your point there.
Yes.
Yeah. We have got your point
there. That is one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. In the marriage also.
Yes.
There are women who are run away with other men. If the woman is already in the house of the other man, and you go to the court to call back your dowry.
Yeah.
They will say, you go and open the case for this one is an adultery case. And the woman is already in the house. It cannot be an adultery. Why is it in the house?
Okay. Thanks
and
for...
And that one need you to open the case of the divorce while it is already with the other man. How can you divorce the woman who is already married?
Okay, interesting two cases there. The listener from Bargazal, and I think I will stop with that. And Doris is excited to answer this. Yes, welcome. You have 2 minutes for that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, brother from Bargazal.
Yes, Northern Bargazal.
Northern Bargazal.
Yeah.
I'll answer the first part of the question. I just want to clarify that the law is not biased. Our penal code punishes all sexual offenses, whether committed by male or female. Now, the issue here might be some men do not report these SDBV offenses. And if you do not report, then the police will not take any action.
Yeah.
And secondly, there are cases where women have been charged of sexual offenses, and they have been tried.
Or even violence against men.
And even violence against men, yes. Yeah. Physical violence against men, emotional violence against men. It happens. Actually, one of my cousins has been a victim of that. His wife hit him on the head with a bottle. But the man did not report. So whose fault is that?
Yeah, he said this. Yeah, so this is, yeah.
The judge will rule the case according to the facts. And if the woman is found guilty, he or she will be sentenced according to the law.
Yeah.
So I would like to just say that the law is not biased.
It's not biased. Yeah, that's my understanding also. Simon, the issue of, it sounds complicated whether a woman has eloped with another man and he's already staying with the man, and then the former husband comes in and says, I want my dowry back, and then he's told, you go and open an adultery case whatsoever, but or a divorce case. What is the clear line here?
Actually, that is answered by the section of the law itself, which is the section for adultery. And whether the woman is anywhere, maybe she cannot be with the former or the new,
yeah.
new one.
Yeah.
Only the section of the law and the facts that will take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. It's adultery, whether
sure.
she's still staying with the new one
sure.
or she has left that person. Thanks for that, and I'm left with 2 minutes, and I give each one of you 30 seconds exactly to give your concluding remarks, or the three of you to give your concluding remarks about the importance of having access to justice in South Sudan. Maybe we might have another discussion just to pick the caller's phones to explain some of the issues. Doris, 30 seconds.
Okay, I would like to urge citizens to familiarize themselves with the law and get acquainted with the law so that they are not caught on the wrong side and so that they have a proper defense.
Thank you. Chorima?
Yes, thank you so much. Mine is about after recognizing that we have a lot of challenges to access justice, this goes to the government, and I'm appealing to the government. There are some laws that need to be passed, or laws to do with witness protection. We don't have such laws. Laws to do with pro bono and legal services. I understand there's the legal aid bill. So we're just appealing to the government and the relevant authorities to fast track the passing of the laws, and also laws to do with alternative dispute resolution, because as we note, not all cases have to end up in court. So if we have the legal framework for dealing with negotiations, mediations, arbitration, it will also help in, enhancing the justice system. Mm-hmm. So,
Thanks for that. Three important things I've learned from you. And Simon, your last remark?
My last remark for the people of South Sudan, ask for legal aid. It has been granted even for foreigners whom lawyers doesn't know them. No need for mentioning of their name.
Mm-hmm.
See any lawyer who is any nearby lawyer, you ask him. If he is too busy, he will direct you to the lawyer who is free
mm-hmm.
to do that. And that is granted by sections of our constitution, section 136, and also the Advocate Act. It is there, and many people have seen the light, and they found their rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Douglas Hansen, Senior Rule of Law Officer. Thanks very much, Simon Tung, Managing Director for Simon's Law Associates. And thanks, Doris Pony and Chorima Daniel, Rule of Law Officers with the United Nations Mission South Sudan. Pleasure listening to you, and I hope to see you again with another interesting round of discussion on the rule of law and access to justice to South Sudan. So that's the end of today's discussion hour on Nationwide Program on Radio Mirai. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.